Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Amen. Well, we're going to dive into a difficult topic today. Yes, it's difficult and not difficult and difficult. It's everything. You know, when I started, actually I was thinking about preaching on this, and then Pastor Gary made mention of it last Sunday, and I thought, okay, there's confirmation, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to jump into it. It won't be that difficult. And then I jumped into it and my time preparing for it. And I thought, good Lord, this is difficult. Have you ever had somebody you were challenged to forgive? What's that? Did you say only me? Oh, I'm pretty sure you meant only me. You've only had a challenge forgiving me. Maybe I should have quit while I was ahead today, so thank you, Karen. I know. Yeah, only I have struggled forgiving. I think we've all struggled at times. You know, it could be sometimes from the simplest things that just drive us crazy to things that are like, I think of somebody that's taken somebody's life, precious loved one, and you have to try to forgive that person. Like, that's big territory. I think, you know, I've realized lately, and this comes from partly from our Thrive group, as we've been watching these videos, I was stirred a little bit, and I realized I was and still working through holding unforgiveness, even with the church at large. What I've seen over the last 4 years, I'm like, I never really thought about that, but I'm holding unforgiveness towards the body of Christ. How many of you could have unforgiveness towards God? But right, how many have ever wrestled through why God? Right? And we have to wrestle. And I want to jump into the scriptures and I want to kind of walk through them. And I'm going to share right up front that I don't have all the answers to this, but I'll give you what I have. And some of you may even have deeper revelation, which is awesome. And you can share that with me. But I want you to turn with me, if you could, and if you have a Bible with pages, turn there, and if not, go on to your app. I really want to encourage you to pull out your app because it's so important to follow. You should always be looking at the scriptures, I feel, reading them with us. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 6. We're going to start with the Lord's Prayer. This is the Sermon on the Mount, famously known. This is his teaching, and he shares a lot of different things. Then his disciples in Matthew 6, verse 9 is where we'll pick it up. Actually, verse 8, it says, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." Isn't that reassuring that God knows? You know, it was awesome to hear your testimony about the bicycles. You know, Andrea, I know you've had testimonies of supernatural things on the mission field before you even ask. God's getting ready to give. It says, for they think that they will be here. Oh, no, sorry, I'm too far. Verse 9, "In this manner, therefore, pray." This is how God's teaching them to pray. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Okay, got that. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Verse 14 is a challenge. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men in their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I feel like at that moment, there should be like a record screech. Like, what? This is a wrestling scripture. This is something that you have to process, and I want to process with you. Anybody want to share why that's hard? Anybody want to, any point? I'm not sharing. I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble. Ryan.
Forgiven. My wrongs aren't as
There you go. There's a challenge right there. That's a wrestling in that scripture going, whoa, how do I do this? And if Ryan wrestles and goes, I can't forgive, like I should be repaid. Is he not forgiven? Like this is where you have to kind of take the argument. Anybody else want to? This is where we have to think. You know, I don't want you to just hear and go ahead.
We have to look inside before we can point at someone else.
Okay, so there's that. Looking inside before we point at somebody else. Okay, good. Getting you guys thinking. Jacob, I know you're sitting back there, but I feel like you got something.
Sometimes it's hard. Like, it's easier to say you forgive someone than to actually forgive them in your heart.
Ooh, yeah, that's true. Oh, heart. Hold on to that point. That's so important. Isn't that true, right? You say you forgive, but you carry the grudge, right? Let me read the same scripture. I'm going to read it out of, this is the New Living Translation. You can switch that on your app if you want. Technology is amazing. He says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. And don't let us yield to the temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. So here's a question I'm going to ask you. If Father doesn't forgive our sins, our Heavenly Father, where's your salvation? Is it tied to salvation? It's interesting because it says, if you, then I will. So I'm going to kind of swing the pendulum for a little bit. I'm going to swing the pendulum way to one side because if you look at if the Father forgives you of your sins, if you don't forgive others, he won't forgive you. Well, you have to be forgiven to go for salvation and go to heaven and righteousness. So we have a problem in this scripture. By the way, I looked up as many commentaries as I could on this because I'm going to take you to another one that's even harder. And it's interesting, some of them went, this is a hard scripture. I'm like, well, that doesn't help me. That's what I already know. But some of them literally went, this is a hard scripture. Moving on to the next verse. I'm like, well, thank you, scholars. That really helps me. I want to do a little quick review for those that haven't been with us for a while or just to you know, remind us. I'm going to look at two covenants in the Bible. There are more types, but the two that I want to really make sure we look at is an unconditional covenant and a conditional covenant. There are different names for them, but we're gonna simplify it today. If you remember Abraham came, God came to Abraham and basically made a covenant with Abraham and said, I will bless you, I make you father of nations, and gave him lots of promises. And he cut a covenant being a promise, and back even today, a covenant is made with blood or anyway. In history, covenants were made with blood. And in that covenant, God did it all. God cut the animal. God walked through. God did the blood covenant. It was all on God. That means that Abraham did not have to do anything to fulfill the covenant. God had to do everything. That's a nice covenant, right? Now, how many know marriage is not like that, right? Marriage is 100%. It's both people. Because I would hate to get married and you're like, okay, I'm married now. You get to do everything. If you run your marriage like that, we have these things called inspired date night. They're really helpful. That's kind of a plug. So Abraham had this covenant where he did not have to do anything. God was going to fulfill it. Then you have Moses, where God gave Moses a conditional covenant. And a lot of laws that went with it and rules. And it became, if you, then I will. If you, I will. If you, I will. If you, I will. That's the covenant. And he began to use that as a tutor to show what holiness looked like and how to live properly. But there were consequences to what you did. Fast forward to the cross. This beautiful moment in history where Jesus dies on the cross for our sins and the penalty. And we have what's called the new covenant, where Jesus cuts a new covenant with the Father, and it's an unconditional covenant if we receive this covenant. We receive it, we don't have to do anything other than receive it and say, Lord, I receive what you did on the cross, and because of that, we're forgiven of our sins. You following me? So you've got unconditional covenant with Abraham, conditional covenant with Moses, where he had to do, they had to follow all these things, and then we have an unconditional covenant with Jesus on the cross. So just to set this stage straight, so we all understand in here, you cannot get to heaven on good works. We understand that. You cannot get to heaven by being good enough. You should understand that. There is none that are righteous on our own, right? On our best day, it's not good enough. It's just the reality of it. You need a savior. I need a savior. You need a savior. We all do. I still need a savior. Every day I need a savior. But then we have this scripture that says, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. That's a hard scripture. And it would seem like if we want to swing the pendulum over here, that God does an unconditional covenant with us, but throws in a condition. Does it feel like that? I'm going to play both fields here. Turn with me to another very hard scripture. Turn with me to Matthew 19, 18. Matthew 18, verse 21. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? By the way, I didn't know this, but the law would be like three times. So he felt like by saying seven times, he was like, I'm doubling it plus one. I'm pretty good. That's what he was saying. We don't understand all these things, but that's really what he was saying. Like he thought he was upping and doing well. And then Jesus comes across and goes, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now we feel like that gives us a number, which is a really big number. You know, and if you keep track, but God was not saying that. He was not trying to put a number. That's a Hebrew idiom that basically says infinity. You know, Buzz Lightyear, infinity and beyond. It's just these sayings that says, listen, seven times 70 is infinity. You need to forgive forever. So when we think we've forgiven enough, he's saying, keep going. Anybody ever have moments like that where you've had to forgive all the time? I've had moments where I've had moments where people have wounded me so difficult, like so fiercely in my heart, that almost daily I had to get up because I would see them and I would have to say, Lord, I gotta choose to forgive again today. Because I would see them and it would, you know that feeling? And I'd be like, okay, I'm not forgiven. I haven't forgiven them. I have forgiven them, but I have to forgive them again. I have to go deeper. And it's interesting, the whole time, God was doing something inside of me as well, but I realized I had to be like, Lord, help me, on a daily basis. So this is kind of his point, 70 times seven. Then he's gonna go into a parable here. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. First thing I want you to understand that he's going to start talking about forgiveness, but he says he wants to settle accounts. I love in our Thrive group when we were listening to this couple preach, she said the word forgiveness, and it really is, if you look it up, it is an accounting term that says your debt has been wiped clear. How many would love to go to the bank tomorrow and have your debts completely wiped clear? Wouldn't that be fantastic? If you walked in and they said, Michael, we're excited to tell you that we just had a meeting today and decided your debts are clear. You owe us nothing. Yeah, but I owed you $500,000. Nope, not anymore. You owe us nothing. How many walk out of there going, wow, this is such a good day. Honey, you'll never guess what happened. I would be running out of there going, whoa! Right? The sad thing is, how many of us would go and spend and get into debt again? right? I could go buy a new car. No, you just got out of debt. But this is an accounting term. And in this, we need to understand what's going on here, because it says he wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle the accounts, one was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. Now, to give you an understanding, a talent is more than a year's wage. This man owed 10,000 years worth of money. They estimated between, depending, you know, inflation and all that, it's millions of dollars that this guy owed. Even if you just take 10,000 years of debt, how would he ever pay it off? And how did he get that in debt? That's kind of my question. But it's a parable, so we don't really have to know. But I'm like, that's some massive debt. Now, of course, if you're following along and you know the story, that he's just not talking about money. He's talking about, we're going to get to sin in our life and that. But the reality is, he's trying to say, listen, you owe a massive debt. You know, I don't care how good you think you are. If you look at the law and if you look at what God asks us to do, we will fall short all the time. If you don't speak it out, half the time we're thinking something. And it's like, well, good thing God didn't hear that. Oh, what? He knows everything. Person passes you and almost cuts you off and you don't say it out loud, but what you think in your heart, you're like, am I off? No, how could I even think that? Have you ever had a thought that scared you? You're like, is that me, James, or just? I had a moment. I was at a kind of a resort type thing in Florida. And I remember there, and it was a very white dominated resort for a few days. And then all of a sudden, I remember, I'll just be completely transparent. All of a sudden, a lot of African-Americans came in. I remember sitting in the pool and I remember seeing all the ladies that were there with their kids. And then two thoughts came to mind. I thought, see, look at all the husbands aren't there with them. And two, how could they afford to be here? And instantly when I thought those, I thought, how could I think that? I was horrified at my own thoughts. And I repented and I'm like, Lord, I have no idea what's going on here, but why would I think that? And I realized how far things have been implanted in me, you know, of just thoughts. But I was horrified. I thought something and I was like, I believe the Lord went, you still have prejudice. You don't even realize it. Let's pinpoint that and get it healed. Because that's exactly what I did in a pool in Florida. Lord, forgive me. That's a horrible thought. You transform my mind. I had that happen twice. I had that happen at a conference with the French folk. Remember, we were at a Watchman conference, and I didn't realize I had unforgiveness in my heart for, I can't even remember why, with our French brothers from Quebec in that. And all of a sudden, I'm surrounded by them, and actually, it was quite funny because they were doing the La Dance. They're on the stage dancing. I'm having this moment realizing I'm having this unforgiveness in my heart, and I'm closing my eyes. Little did I know, as they're dancing, they're doing this cool stuff, they're walking off the stage and everybody else realizes it and they're all backing up. And I'm just sitting there in the middle of them trying to repent. And I open my eyes, I'm like, I don't think I should be here. So kind of back up. But that was a time I had a chance to honor them afterwards, and God did just such healing in my life. So the reality is, you think you might be like pure and you don't have any sin, which I don't think anybody thinks that, but then we have these moments where you're like, I'm horrified by what I just thought. Lord, you just identified something else. The point that he's saying is, if we really look at our life, we have 10,000 years of debt to pay off, right? So keep reading verse 25, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that the payment be made. Now, I think that's kind of funny because I'm not sure you could ever repay that debt. The other thing I want to add here, it says throw him into jail, take everything he has and his wife and his children. It's interesting. Have you ever found that sometimes our sin debt can cost us family issues? Marriage issues. You know, I was thinking of gambling, where somebody has a sin or a habit that they can't break, and it is really a sin of gambling and going in there, and you hear stories that people have lost everything. You know, they sit at the casino and they think, just one more time, just one more time, just one more time, just one more time. Before they know it, they've put their mortgage down and they've lost their house. And after they lose the house, then they've lost their wife and their children because they don't want to be there anymore. Like, that's debt, right? The account gets built up. And all along, God does not want us to have debt like this, but sometimes that will cost us. Let's keep reading. The servant fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Which, by the way, the disciples and anybody listening would have went, "How? That's impossible. You can't pay 10,000 years of debt." Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. How beautiful. Like, that should make us go, yes. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is one, I believe it's one day's wage, a denarii. And so it's like 100 days of work. It's not that big of a deal when you have 10,000 years of debt, right? So he owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. It's interesting. You almost think that that's maybe like they're trying to use modern vernacular, but if you look at every translation, it's took him by the throat. They were making a point. He was so angry that this guy owed him 100 days of work that he grabbed him by the throat. Serious. Grabbed him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have," look at the wording, same wording as before with the other man, "have patience with me and I will pay you." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came, told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called them, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And this master was angry and delivered him to be to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. He delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. And so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Like, I don't know about you, but I read that and I'm like, dear God, like, are you throwing me to the tormentors when I don't forgive somebody? Like, that seems, so we got the pendulum way over here. It's like, that's what it looks like he's doing. Now, one of the things I want to bring up is this story is written on what side of the cross? Before the cross. The new covenant has not been instituted yet, because Jesus is in a few chapters going to talk about the new covenant based on his blood. So we could swing the pendulum, and this is what we have to be careful of. We could swing it way over here and go, well, listen, Jesus died for my sins. I don't have to earn it, which you don't. I don't have to earn it. So it really doesn't matter anymore. And that's swinging the pendulum from way over here to way over here. Doesn't matter anymore. But I don't think we can go there either. Because forgiveness throughout the Bible is a key everywhere. Everywhere is so key. But how do we walk this? Because in my study, this one pastor said, I've read stories where people are in fear of not going to heaven because the pendulum is so over here that they're racking their brain on a daily basis to make sure that they have not one ounce of forgiveness inside of them, and they're in complete fear. Does that sound like God? No. You can get the pendulum all the way over here where you think, well, I don't ever think about if I'm angry with anyone. I'm forgiven. Well, that's too far over here. So let's look at it, because it's very interesting. It says at the very end, I read it twice, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. I'm going to tell you a semi-fictional story. I've pulled different parts of life, but it's mostly fictional. Let's say I own a house, and Bob's my neighbor. And in my house, on my property, I have these beautiful trees that I have, like trees and bushes. It's a row. And it's from my father, you know, it could even be from my grandfather down, you know, through the history of somebody planted it and it's cherished. I kind of got this from that walnut tree, you know, that was the beautiful walnut tree on the property. We did have this happen partially. But let's say that you've grown these. Your grandfather planted them. Your dad watered them. You've been growing them. They're beautiful trees. They're right across the property line, and you just love these. You know, they're cherished. Bob one day, we're not sure why Bob did this, but Bob, whether he was spiteful or just didn't know that they were on your property line and not his, he gets out his chainsaw one day and decides he doesn't want that nice row of hedges, and he cuts them all down. And I am furious. We actually had a walnut cut down. It was our tree. It was my dad's tree. That's kind of where the story came from. I'm furious that he cut down my trees, my hedges. Like, what right did he have to come on my property and cut down my stuff? Like, this is my property, my line. I'm just furious. I'm angry. I'm spiteful. And every time he walks out the door, I give him that dirty look and I yell at him, "How could you have done this, Bob? Jerk." And Bob's like, "I'm sorry, I didn't know, you know, it was my problem. I don't care, whatever his reason. I'm just angry every day." And you know that anger turns to bitterness, and bitterness just rots your soul. It's interesting, Jacob, you hit it. It's your heart. When it said that about your heart, I thought of, you know, guarding your heart. For out of it spring the issues of life. Our heart is so important. And in an instant like that, it's like it goes from I'm angry to I'm bitter to literally you can get sick with anger, sick with bitterness, like rage. You see road rage. Where does road rage come from? A simple act that puts somebody off and you take that to the next level and you go from shooting the finger to slamming into the back of their car to horrible things. So Bob every day, he's like, whatever. And then Bob gets a job across the country. Bob sells the house, moves across the country, and Bob's doing his job. But I'm there looking at the trees that were used to be there, thinking about the birds that should be there, and I'm bitter, and I'm angry. And how could Bob do this? You know what Bob's doing? He's not thinking about the trees. Bob left that a long time ago. Bob's off working. So who's in prison? Bob? Because so often we think, if I get angry enough, I'm going to throw Bob into my prison of anger. And so often that person moves on a long time ago. And we're in prison in anger and in frustration and in rage. And that's the crazy thing. We're the ones that are tormented, and they've moved on. Have you ever met somebody where you go, I actually had this happen in the last couple years. There was an incident that kept coming to mind, and it was so simple. It was such a simple incident, but it kept coming to mind. We were building this building, and somebody asked me to go get something, and so I came back. And I was really frugal. I didn't understand tools at that point. I work a lot more with tools. This is like 17, 18 years ago. And I remember going, he asked me to get something. And I thought, this one is really cheap and cost efficient. So I came back and he was angry with me. Like he was so frustrated. I wouldn't say angry, frustrated. Because he knew the quality of a tool would be important. I didn't. So I bought the cheapest one, and I was defending my decision. No, we got to save money, blah, blah, blah. And I remember that. He was angry, and it's funny that I thought of this so many years later, and I remember saying to the Lord, if I see this person, I want an opportunity, I'm going to go apologize. So I'm shopping one day, and I'm in the store, and I see him. I walk over. I'm like, can I have a second of your time? And we don't talk a whole lot, so awkward a little bit. And he's like, yeah. I said, man, remember this when this happened? And I just want to apologize. He's like, I have no clue of what you're talking about. What? You know, for a couple weeks, I've been thinking about this moment and how I blew it. And I think God's like, let me show you how this works. He couldn't even remember the incident. Probably after like 24 hours, he probably moved on. Because it was a stupid incident, you know? Plastic versus metal is really what it came down to. But for me, I thought upon that for days. It's crazy. So who's being tormented? I am. So Jesus has this, Jesus always has incredible plans. He has this incredible plan of, listen, you need to forgive. Because what you don't realize is forgiveness doesn't get them out of prison, it gets you out of prison. And the reality is, and Karen has a beautiful message on this when she comes on our summit encounter night, is the reality is some things that happen to us take time to get through. Because if you just read that scripture at face value, if somebody took something so precious to you and it would almost feel like if you couldn't forgive the next day, that maybe this could cost you your salvation. Now, what I do know is that word forgiveness also means separate. It means to pay debts, to bring it back to zero, but it also means to leave and to separate. And one of the things that I've come to really realize is that when we hold unforgiveness, we actually separate ourselves from the presence of the Lord when he wants us to get into the presence of the Lord. I've seen many people not come to church because of unforgiveness when we should be running to the altars when we have unforgiveness. But it's a hard process. So just to begin to wrap this up, I want you to turn with me to, let's go to Ephesians. While you're turning to Ephesians 4, I'm going to read this. So you understand that Jesus spoke this before the new covenant was put into place, but I also believe that he was speaking this from knowing where we would go in the new covenant. So now we're in the new covenant, meaning that if we receive Jesus because he died on the cross for us and we say, Lord, I realize I'm a savior. I can never fix it. I receive what you did on the cross. I submit myself to that. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. You are now in a new covenant relationship with the Lord. But here's the thing. When you enter a new covenant with the Lord, he's like, all right, awesome. Now we're going to disciple you. I want you to walk like I walked. Gulp. And we begin this journey of learning how to walk like Jesus walked. And in John, you don't have to turn there, 15, he says this, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment. He took all the commandments and brought it down to one, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So now we have, I want you to walk like I walked. This is how I walked. You need to love like I loved. Well, how did Jesus love? He's on the cross, being crucified. People have spit at him and scourged him and the thorns in his head. And what does he do in that moment? Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, that is so mind-boggling. And yet Jesus says, hey, I want you to walk like this. And we think that's so hard. I love it. You don't leave empty-handed. That's what Karen said. When you bring something to the cross, you don't leave empty. But you know, when you bring unforgiveness to the cross, it started that scripture with, my joy may remain. Because Jesus knows when you forgive, you receive joy back and you get set free. That's the beautiful thing about it. And yet it's so hard to get there because it's painful. And somehow we think that if we hold on to this, we're doing damage to them, right? We're like, somehow our bitterness is gonna damage them. And again, it goes back to God's like, no, it's damaging you. It's damaging you. And I want to see you forgive and be set free. And we go back to that story in Matthew. Isn't it true that when we look at our lives, like we want to grab somebody by the throat for what they did. But if we truly do what the scripture says and step back, we're like, he has forgiven us for so much. Hasn't he? You with me? You falling asleep. Hasn't he forgiven us for so much? You're like, well, I'm not really that bad. Ask your spouse. Don't do that. Don't do that. But the reality is, I can look at my life and go, man, I still have ugly thoughts. I still make mistakes that need forgiveness. And the thing is that ours are, you know, somebody sins against us, but we sin all on God. So it's like this person gets a little bit of our unforgiveness and so does this person, but God gets it all. And he forgives us. Ephesians, I said to turn to. Ephesians 4, 31 to 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. You know, we can read that and go, man, he's just like, he's angry. He wants to get rid of us, get rid of it all. I think we need to start reading scripture from the place of love. For so long, I've read it from, get rid of all this. He's like, man, you need to get rid of this. You don't know what it's doing to you. Man, get rid of bitterness and rage and anger, harsh words. And then it says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as through Christ has forgiven you. Forgive one another as Christ forgave you. You don't have to turn there. Colossians 3, 13 to 14 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us together with perfect harmony. So I think the middle ground is where the pendulum needs to stop. I don't think you lose your salvation with unforgiveness. But I do think, you know, that's that side. If we go over here where we never have to forgive, we miss what we're supposed to be doing, walking like Christ. But in the middle is, Lord, you've forgiven me everything. How can I not choose to forgive? But it is a process. Pain takes time to heal. And sometimes it really is a choice to go, Lord, I get up again today to forgive. I get up again, I forgive. And I've had to do that many, many, many times. I want to end with this because I love when she said in the video we were watching with Thrive, she said, you know, forgiveness is you can get to the point where you can say to that person, you owe me nothing. Your debt is paid. And when she said that, it got my brain going because I thought, you know, I've forgiven people, but I don't know if I could truly say you owe me nothing. In the back of my mind, I still think you owe me something. I'm expecting an apology. I'm expecting repayment. I'm expecting all these things. And she said, you owe me nothing. Aren't you glad that Jesus says, you're forgiven, you owe me nothing? Like, that's huge. He doesn't say, you're forgiven, now I want you to repay me for the rest of your life. He doesn't do that. And so when she spoke those words, that got my brain going. And I thought, Lord, I need to settle some accounts. I love that. I need, you know, we need to sometimes sit down in the mornings and go, Lord, I need to look at my accounting in my booklet, my ledger. I understand that because my dad, my mom, they taught me how to keep things. They marked things down when I bought things and they said, hey, you owe me. And that accounting is, Lord, who do I feel still owes me something? Okay. Oh, write their name down. Oh, okay. Write their name down. Now, Lord, how do I help me more? Is help me to clear their account. Help me to forgive them so their account is clear. So when I see them, I'm not looking at them expecting them to repay. Right? Because if we really forgive, there is no payment necessary. That's like a double-edged sword. Like we're saying, I forgive you, but you owe me. It doesn't work that way with the kingdom. We forgive, the account is clear. Because if we don't, then we go back into law, and then we have to repay everything as well. Who wants to go back there? Not me. Why don't you stand? So here's the reality. A lot of us, myself, I'm going to say a lot of us, but I know for me, I'll talk personal. I've been through things that I find, and nothing, you know, I look at things that people have gone through, I'm like, how do you forgive that? But we all, everything we go through, we all have our own levels, right? And I want to encourage us today, it's not out of guilt that we have to go there, it's out of love. First of all, God's love for us, because he wants us to be set free. He wants us to be set free. That's where he comes from. He's not like, I'm angry. He wants us to be set free because we're being tormented by the prisoners and we're in prison. And he's like, man, I want to set you free from that. And it can be hard. It can be really difficult to forgive. But I want you to know that on the other side of that forgiveness, there remains a joy to be received. So Lord, we come before you, and the reality is that some things that have happened in our lives make it difficult to forgive. The pain that is still there, the injury, the insult, the bullying, the what's been taken from us, the injustice, all these things, Father God, we can look at. But Lord, you paid such a high price so we can be forgiven and to forgive others. So we come to you and we ask, Lord, would you help us to enter that place of forgiveness with others? Lord, I pray that as we take time over the coming days to look at our accounts with people, that, Lord, you would begin to reveal areas that we are still in prison because we have not forgiven. Would you begin to show us? And Lord, I thank you that you are gentle, caring, and loving, and you will begin to do that step by step. We say, help, Lord. Help, Lord. Help us to forgive. Help us to be set free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.